The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The views and opinions expressed by Rob Black and his guests are not necessarily those of KDOW or its management, owners, or advertisers and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with the appropriate advisor before making any investment or financial planning decision.
I'm Rob Black, talking money, investing, and more. I see a lot of crazy things. Working in the financial planning world, working in the financial talking world and financial media, I see a lot of crazy things. I've experienced some of them myself. There's a concept that I want to talk about briefly called the gray divorce. And you know what that is, right? The rate of divorce amongst Americans age 50 and older has more than doubled since 1990.
You're darn tootin'.
Now, when I talk to 20-year-olds and millennials, I'm like, hey, try to marry well. Maybe slow things down. Maybe you find out that you got the right guy, the right gal. Don't rush passion and, you know, running up a... Try to marry well, because a lot of marriages sometimes, you know, they fall apart because people didn't study it a little bit better. But the rate of Americans after your kids go off to college who are divorcing, doubling since 1990, can be longer lifespans. It can be age-defying drugs and procedures, you know, things like Viagra and a little Botox. People are like, hey, I'm young. I want to go live young again. Amongst people over 50, people who are remarried are twice as likely to divorce. Now, Rob Black's personal opinion on this is, I'm not going to tell you, like, Lee Harvey Oswald would never have done this if his mom and dad didn't divorce. He would never have killed Kennedy. I'm not that guy. But what I can tell you is that divorce oftentimes leads to financial pain, as Mr. T would say. Pain. What's your prediction, T? Pain. So there's, I know, and I got to be careful what I say. I know someone in the financial world who can't afford to retire. Not because he didn't grow his business, not because he wasn't very good at what he did, not because his service wasn't awesome. Too many divorces. The gray divorce could be financially devastating. Now, again, keep in mind if he's, you know, cut his wealth in thirds a couple times and he's also affected his current wife, right? Because if he passes, you know, there probably won't be enough there for, like, there's some issues there. Most people go out their divorce will want to start with the basics. You want to do a cash flow analysis. If you're going through a divorce, I highly recommend that you start with an arbitrator. You once loved each other. Try not to let the cost get out of control. But you need that cash flow statement, you know, and start thinking about it, because now that you're single, your costs are going to go higher. When you're married, sometimes you can reduce costs. Instead of, you know, $3,000 in rent, and you maybe had a, you know, each of you maybe had a $4,000 mortgage kind of thing. So don't forget, when you divorce, your tax rates are going to change. Your marriage status may have helped you on that. You want to recalculate your retirement savings when you get a divorce in your 50s. Any divorce, really. So spend some time with socialsecurity.gov. Spend some time with some of the calculators that are out there. They're flawed. And someone like CFP Chad Burton, you can find it at newfocusfinancial.com. He'd probably beat me up if I said, yeah, you can use a flawed calculator. When you use something, know that there's flaws and don't walk away thinking it's set in stone. Maybe it gives you a good idea. You know, if you had $1 million in your, you know, $500,000 each in your 401ks, and you're like, we got $1 million. That's going to be awesome when we retire. That $1 million, if we keep putting money in, will be $2 million. And suddenly you're back to $500,000 that you're trying to get to $1 million. It's a little different, right? And again, if that's one 401k, or if someone doesn't work, then they split the 401k. I used to be a lot more obnoxious when I was younger. I know you're saying, how is that possible? One of the chapters in my book was, ladies in divorce, skip the house, go for the 401k. And all I was trying to say is that saving money for retirement is a lot more difficult, in my opinion, than saving money for paying, you know, a rent check every month. When you're 60 and that you need that money to go from 60 to 85, you can't go back and work. You know, you could try to linger in the workforce, be a greeter. I'm good with that. But you get the idea, right? Will one day the greeter at Walmart change into a robot? They have them at some of the Home Depots and Lowe's now, where it asks you what you're looking for and it walks you to it. So divorce on Social Security also has an impact. And again, I try to bring up issues like, you know, a retirement home is going to cost you $84,000 to $88,000 a year minimum. And if you're looking for anything nice, it ain't cheap. And that draws down $1 million in assets, you know, fast. Probably like 5 years when you start adding in food and other things. Yep. So Social Security is going to have its own issues. The short version is that as long as you've been married for at least 10 years and don't remarry, you're entitled to half your ex-spouse's Social Security benefits at their normal retirement age at 62. So you can collect benefits even if your ex delays filing for benefits. There's a lot going on in getting a great divorce. So, and one of the biggest things that I see is people have a lot less than they thought. And they basically go, well, I'm going to have to continue working. One more thing, if you're going to get a great divorce, which again, that's not my thing to consult on. If you're going to get a great divorce, you know, consider changing your paperwork, because you may have a situation where the will entitles everything to that person that you're divorcing, and you find a new love of your life who makes you feel young and go dancing together. I haven't danced since I was a young lady. So you probably want the money or assets. You want to think about how sticky it is, especially if you have kids and no kids, and who do you want money to go to? Or suddenly you pulling it from your ex-spouse and put it in your sister's. You got some things to think about with gray divorce. And again, the numbers are rising. So I always found that to be kind of a funny television premise, right? When the dad calls the kid in college and goes, son, I have to tell you something. Me and your mother are getting a divorce. The kid's like, dad, I don't care. I always wanted to know like that. Dad, I don't care. It's always a premise, right? So not only do you have to manage your money differently when you're divorcing, but how about when you're remarrying? And when you remarry, I think more so than ever, the first time you marry, you should have a really frank conversation about your finances. But the second time you marry, you really should have even more frank of a conversation. You're older, you have more assets, you might have some children. People go in the first marriage as financial equals. We're young. We're out of college. This is our first jobs. Maybe I'll turn in the, you know, the job into something greater. Maybe she'll turn the job into something greater. We're equals. Woo-hoo! But odds are a lot more complicated when, you know, you're 50 years old. Your first marriage is over. You're finally getting back in the dating scene. You're trying the Tinder thing, fail. You're trying the Bumble thing, fail. You're trying the Match thing, fail. And you find someone to fall in love with, you got to be a lot more frank this time. Stakes are higher. So figure out what problems you've made in your past financially. Learn to speak about them and move on. I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. Got a big seminar coming up in March. You can sign up for the event at Rob Black Show. Twitter, Rob Black Show. YouTube, Rob Black Show. You can sign up at Rob Black Show. Use the code RADIO25. It's code RADIO25. Coming up in the latter parts of March on a Thursday evening. I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. You can also get some free downloads at newfocusfinancial.com. That's newfocusfinancial.com.
Want the podcast with music? Find the link to the other version of the podcast by going to Rob Black's Twitter. His handle is at Rob Black Show. Listen to Rob Black and Your Money weekday mornings, 7 to 9 on AM 1220 KDOW.
I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. I'm cheap on a lot of things, and I know it. If they're house sneakers, I wear them out. I get them to the point where, like, toes are poking through. If you step in, like, a puddle of water, or even, like, just barely glance it, it's like everything's soaked all the way through. But I save money. I don't mind throwing my sneakers in a washing machine. A little liquid detergent, a little baking soda. Maybe a pillowcase or a wash bag to put them in so they don't beat everything up.
Sweet.
Comes out looking just like new. Take your insoles out. Don't get those things wet. With that said, Yeah, I'm kind of cheap on a lot of things. On others, I'm all about the experience. I'm that way. Travel cards. I'm a big travel credit card kind of guy. I like being treated like a VIP at the airport. And whether it's the Priority Pass Select membership or it's the getting you through security instantly, the TSA pre-approval, I don't mind it. I don't mind getting the extra night free on a hotel. I've got an Amex Hilton card. Spend $3,000 and you get, you know, a free night at a hotel. I'm good with that. So you get longer checkouts, check-ins. I'm good with that. Incidentals typically are pretty well taken care of. The points are ridiculous if you're loyal to a group. But you also have to use that carefully because, like, I'd rather use points for Southwest going across the country than a quick hop, skip, and a jump to L.A. So that's just me. Tesla's got a new Model Y crossover coming March 14th. I'm officially at the point where I don't care. Dropping off kids at school one day, it's kind of insane. It's kind of insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain! Every other car is a Tesla. And it's like the sign that, like, that's when you don't want it. Right? I don't know. Maybe it's your thing. I'm not a car guy. And I told you I save money on sneakers that I wear around the house. It's a good look. Also, I save money on vehicles. I'd rather have a practical car. You know how many times I've saved money, like, with my truck? Not having to get it delivered, going to get it in myself. My friends are like, hey, can I borrow your truck? It's so much easier than... No one ever says, hey, can I borrow your BMW? Hey, can I borrow your Tesla? So, anyhow, I'm digressing. I have an emergency fund. And I'll tell you why I have an emergency fund. I'm afraid of heading to the hospital. I have pretty good health care. But I don't know how good it is when it stacks up against like a quadruple bypass. 48% of Americans ages 55 and older with less than $60,000 of annual income say the single emergency room visit ranks first on their list of money-related concerns. That's insane. Americans 55 and older are afraid of the cost of an emergency visit. An emergency room visit, it ain't cheap. I took a family member because he was feeling a little hot-headed once. And he wanted to make sure he wasn't having a stroke or a heart attack. I'm like, have a cup of water. Take a spritz. Nope. Into the emergency room we go. And I'd say 12 hours later, by the end of the night, I want to say maybe we went in like at 1 by, you know, midnight, he was let go. The bill, the U.S. government was for $60,000 from what is Medicaid and Medicare and Medi-Cal, whatever it didn't cover. There was a little bit of a hit to him, but not bad. But for me and you who aren't on those programs, and again, they don't always cover you. One of the best pieces of advice I could say is don't put off health issues. You know, you get a sore tooth, go see a dentist before it becomes a rotten tooth. A rotten tooth that needs drilling is a lot more expensive than a bad tooth that needs a little, you know, cavity or cap or whatever you do these days. See, I'm not exactly the world's biggest, smartest dentist. I play one on TV. Man, would that be a rough show? You know, the big TV networks are running out of ERs and ambulance shows, and they're running out of ideas. Fire departments. Yeah, how about a dental office? I know. Someone's going to get mad. I mean, say, I've seen emergency dental people work, and the work that they do in action is amazing, and you should not knock them. That's totally fair. But emergency room visits can destroy your finances, is what I'm getting at. And I've seen it happen. So one of the best things you could do is you know, beef up your emergency fund. So when you're looking at the cost of, you know, what you're going to spend on healthcare in your life, have an emergency fund for that time you need said emergency. So 800-516-1220 to get your calls on the air. It's 800-516-1220 to get your calls on the air. Tesla's announced a new Model Y. No, they haven't announced it. It's going to be March 14th that they're going to announce it. And Tesla's running into a situation where they may be bigger than Elon Musk, and they may need to have him step aside on some level because they need to focus on the solar. They need to focus on their brands. They don't really need some of the negative distractions that he's bringing to the company. He is bringing media. But they're going to show us their new Tesla version 3 supercharger station, which goes live on Wednesday. The Model Y event is coming out on March 14th. When you're dropping your kids off at school and you could see like the X-Wing doors open up, you're like, oh, it's a Tesla. And it's cute the first time you see it, but the second time you see it, like, oh, that's kind of annoying. Tesla's very public high-end version 3 supercharger. It's going to go live on Wednesday, so we don't know where that location is. But the one thing I could throw out about Tesla and Elon Musk is at least we've moved the electric vehicle line forward many years, and with a high expectation of quality. So the first Toyota Prius, I think I leased the second generation Toyota Prius, and it was so underwhelming. It really, and I don't know if it still feels this way. I've had other hybrids and things like that since, but they don't feel like the second generation Prius. It felt like a golf cart. I never got over that. I'm like, I'm driving a golf cart, goes 55 miles an hour. And no bueno, no good. It's the Palo Alto Prius. So anyway, thank you, the Palo Alto Prius. Did I say Shallow Alto? I'm so sorry if I said that. I actually meant Palo Alto. Anyhow, I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. Find me online at robblackshow.com. Big deal, looking like it's getting closer with China. It looks like Mar-a-Lago has been booked for an event with China at the end of the month. Is that a give? Is that a take? Is that a tell? Yeah, it is. So construction spending unexpectedly fell in the month of December. Stocks are pairing some gains as investors are weighing a trade. We opened higher on the China news. We've pulled back a little lower on maybe we've gone too far too fast this year news. I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more.
Catch Rob Black and Rob Black and Your Money live on the Bay Area airwaves. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on AM 1220 KDOW and streaming live on the KDOW radio app or KDOW.biz.
I'm Rob Black, talking money, investing, and more. Haven't played it yet, but Apex Legends from Electronic Arts is doing quite well. Well enough as a battle royale, free to play, but with in-game purchases, competitor of Fortnite. Apex Legends had 50 million players in its first month. That's faster than Fortnite, which is kind of tough to make comparisons to because Fortnite kind of created this whole battle royale. They didn't create it. Don't email me, people. Don't call my bosses. But they've kind of dominated the Battle Royale in the last 2 years. But Apex Legends pulling in 50 million players in a month. Stop and think about that for a second. Do you know why we cared about American Idol? At one point in time, America cared about American Idol, and the ratings at Fox did well, and then it paid all their bills. They could lose money on every other show, and they were fine. It was more people voted in, like, American Idol elections than in U.S. presidential elections. And if you're an advertiser, you're like, that's real people. And if you're a company like Electronic Arts or publisher for Fortnite, Epic has 200 million players or 100 million per month or what have you. That's a lot of people per month that you could drop emails on, that you could say, hey, you know, would you like, if you like this game, maybe you like this game, which is just $10 more a month. And they get a third of it or a 15th of it or what the percentage might be for different companies. But those are eyeballs. And that's kind of the story of the world right now. Companies like Netflix, how many eyeballs do they get per movie? How many eyeballs, you know, I saw The Walking Dead. Ratings have gone down pretty consistently. Consistently, maybe not fast at this point in time, but still going lower. People don't care. They moved on. Rick Grimes moved on. He left people. He left them. He's going to come out in 3 individual movies for AMC. I don't know if they'll be feature films, but you think at one point in time they had, you know, 15 million, 12 million, 10 million people watching, and then you say, let's get half of those to the movie theater and put a $10 ticket in their hands, and what do we get? Is it worth it in the theater, or is it going to be a made-for-TV movie? What is it going to be? So anyway, so it's all about eyeballs right now. And to give you another further example, of the easiest way to talk about investing. You want to talk to your kids about investing? Make a bet with them right now on Avengers Endgame. Avengers is a property owned by Disney. And it is looking like it's going to have an opening box office of at least $280 million. It could reach as high as $300 million. This is what's referred to as the storm before, or storm is brewing, right? A cinematic storm. And it could destroy the box office record when it hits in April. $300 million on opening weekend. Can it do it? It's all about Disney, right? You look back at some of the other films in the world, Harry Potter and the Death Hallows Part 2 grossed $169 million in its opening weekend, which was $44 million than Part 1 did. So the fact that Avengers has kind of a Part 2, the end game, or I'm not a superhero movie kind of guy. I'm not against them, but it ain't my thing. But so Infinity War had $258 million. So they're thinking this one will build with excitement at least $280 to $300 million. It's interesting because I think getting your kids excited about investing doesn't have to be a home run. I think Disney's a great idea for a long-term patient investor. But like Shazam hits theaters on April 5th. Shazam's probably my least favorite superhero, right? I don't know. It's like it's a teenage boy who turns into, a teenage boy. Hellboy's coming out. A lot of people are excited by that. Hellboy is a comic book series that the movies have kind of like cult classic love about them. Again, I'm not a much of a comic book superhero kind of guy. I'll watch them on flights. There's the hypocrite in me, right? There's the hypocrite in me. I'll watch them on flights, but they're not good enough for me in person. Speaking of being in person, let's bring in CFP Chad Burton. Let's get a little financial planning prospective from him. Chad?
Joining me now, CFP Chad Burton. You can find him online, newfocusfinancial.com, newfocusfinancial.com. Let's talk a little asset allocation. It is two words put together that we know in the investment community. Some of us know it better, some of it more intimately. What's asset allocation mean to you, Chad?
Well, first of all, let's talk about what it doesn't mean, because I think it's a term that's really misunderstood.
Okay.
A lot of people that start investing think asset allocation means that it's always being in the right asset class all the time and shifting from one asset class to another, which is really the same thing as day trading. Now, you want to do a little bit of that once you've accumulated a portfolio, you overweight and underweight in different areas, including cash, which is an asset class. But really what asset allocation means is you're trying to build a portfolio to achieve a certain goal with the least amount of risk possible, knowing that you're going to be wrong sometimes, so you still continue to hold on to certain asset classes, like small cap, like emerging markets, which will have, you know, kind of a three steps forward, two steps back type of a process.
And do you look at, some people would look at asset allocation, stocks, bonds, and real estate. Do you look at small caps and international, like you just brought up? Do you look at that as a sub asset class, or is it a totally different asset?
It's an asset class. Okay. So I think that there's times like during the big part of the credit crisis, we steered clear of small caps altogether, for example, because of the risk factors that were involved. But we didn't like doing that for too long, so we still own a piece of small cap, which started off 2012, for example, the first month with big gains, for example. You just want to maintain a certain exposure to these asset classes, and there's more than this stocks, bonds, and real estate. Within stocks, you've got the large cap, mid cap, small cap, but you also have different management styles between value and growth, or even just dividend growth investing. You also have commodities that have to be a part of your portfolio as well, and there's a whole slew of alternative investments that people should be getting, you know, taking a look at and becoming educated on within the alternative asset class space. There's managed futures, which is another way to get into currency and commodities.
Okay.
There is funds that deal with merger and acquisitions. There's funds that deal with what's called kind of the buy right area, which is really covered calls. So it's a way to get into the market with creating income on different stocks. And there are types of portfolios where if you're trying to find a spot where I don't want to be in cash, but I don't like where bonds are. Stocks maybe feel a little overvalued. You might get into funds which hedge with the downside. There's funds out there that mirror the S&P 500. They sell covered calls to create some extra income, and they use that income to buy protective puts, which means you have upside exposure, but it's limited.
Right.
And in trade-off, you have limited downside risk as well. All of those are different pieces that go into asset allocation. The idea is that every year in the market, you have something that's doing good. So if you're trying to compare your portfolio, just the S&P 500, and the S&P 500 has a roaring year because of tech and financials, for example, you're going to underperform a little bit in the good years, but you're going to outperform a lot in the bad years. That's what asset allocation is really about. 7 out of 10 years are positive, 3 out of 10 is negative. It's a 3 out of 10 makes a big difference.
That's the math behind asset allocation. Before we get into that, comic books, asset or not?
As far as collectibles?
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm getting at.
It can be. I'm sure there's been some successful comic book collectors out there.
Okay. And how about art? Do you look at art as an asset class for the wealthy, for the poor? Should people be buying it? Should they not?
Yeah, for the wealthy, because typically, you know, there are obviously some people that happened to purchase a painting 30 years ago that they didn't realize was going to be drastically...
But you got to be good at picking paintings. It's like art, being good at picking stocks and picking mutual funds. You got to be good at that unique skill as well.
Right. And art went through a pretty big bubble. It's just like any asset class, it goes through bubble times. So it's correcting at this point in time. But typically, it's kind of one of those things where in order to be good at accumulating the art that's going to make you money in the long term, you've already got to have a lot of money.
I'm with you. So, and the idea on that is they're not making, you know, if it's a dead artist, Leonardo is not making more art, so to speak. I could drop that conversation because I'm going nowhere with that. But let's talk about the math of asset allocations. What do we need to know?
Well, it's really creating consistent returns, because the first thing you have to look at is the game of math. It's the downside that makes a big difference. So if you drop 50%, you have to hit how much to break even?
100%.
Right.
I know that,
so,
but most people don't.
So that's the thing. It's, you know, you have to focus on the 10-year average return. Don't really look at the 1 and 3 year average return. It doesn't make as much difference. It's the 10-year average return. So if you're trying to compare, let's say you're trying to go for a large cap growth manager, you make sure that the manager's been there for the entire term of the track record, 10 plus years. You look at the standard deviation. So if you're comparing two funds, you would want the one with the best 10-year average return, the lowest standard deviation, and the most consistency, and maybe even the lowest beta if you're trying to get to funds that are less volatile as you get close to retirement. So standard deviation, beta, and the consistency of returns helps you, you know, understand the math behind asset allocation.
Asset allocation and much, much more. You can find CFP Chad Burton at newfocusfinancial.com. That's newfocusfinancial.com, or find his website, chadburton.com. And I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. Talking financial issues, trying to get you ready for retirement any way that I ultimately can. So the U.S. and China are inching closer to a deal. Is there a chance that, like, Wile E. Coyote is standing behind me with a dynamite setup, and he's about to send the plunger down on the dynamite box, just blow up this deal and make me go, am I going to have to talk about it again? It feels like that. I'm Rob Black, talking money, investing, and more. Don't forget, I got seminars coming up this month. Wow. You can go to robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com, and use the code radio25 to sign up for free. A lot of good downloadables for free as well at newfocusfinancial.com. That's newfocusfinancial.com.
Don't forget, there's another hour of today's show to listen to. Find it now at kdow.biz or on the KDOW radio app.
I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for being supportive of the show. I don't promise to never, ever, ever sell out, but I'll tell you if I do. I don't expect it's coming, but one never knows when an agent shows up with 3 bags of gold.
Whoa.
I'm like, gold? What am I going to do with that?
That's gold. Gold!
Man, if you can give me gold or Bitcoin, which one would I take at these levels? I'd probably take Bitcoin. 800-516-1220. Teach calls in the air. Apple has more open software jobs than hardware jobs for the first time in years. That tells you a little something, something. It's all about their focus on services businesses. Apple's expected to introduce its new streaming TV service and a subscription new service in March 2019, about 2 or 3 weeks, around the 25th. So, 1,400 jobs related to software and services being put up on the boards right now, compared to about 1,000 for hardware. People aren't buying iPhones as frequently, so they have to figure out how to get more revenue per user. So, a lot of theories out there on what Apple should do. It's going to be fun to see what they actually do do. They could buy something like AMC and get all the zombie shows and the Breaking Bads and the Mad Men, start off catalog production. Or they can go a little bit more Sundance Channel, independent film channel, and kind of be, you know, who they are, kind of like, ooh. Tim Cook's pretty well known to be giving now notes on productions that the companies are submitting content to Apple with, you know, in their financial relationships. He's starting to give notes. And a lot of times he's saying, be less mean. And, I'll just tell you what. Development companies are going to like, yeah, we'll be less mean. We're going to go develop this mean series over at Netflix. So it is a golden age to be a television producer right now. So that's a little bit interesting on Apple. So the software is starting to outpace the hardware. Do you feel that? I do. Just throwing it out there. Former Attorney General Eric Holder will not run for president in 2020. It's interesting how many people have thrown their hats in the ring. It feels wow. But do you remember when Trump was running for president? There was like 19 Republicans or something like that. It was a crazy time, to say the least. Chris Christie was one of them. Instant Pot is merging with the owner of Pyrex. Now, when I said Instant Pot, did you think like marijuana? Or are you like a crock potter? I do like to crock pot.
All right.
I've had some bad experiences with crock pots. You know, the maker of crock pot, their stock went down because of that show where This Is Us. Is that what it's called? NBC, Thursday night on a very special This Is Us. The house is going to burn down because he left a crock pot on. And their stock went down. Like, and Crockpot's like, just so you know, we've never been investigated for faulty devices. Like, that's the world we live in now, right? So Instant Brands, maker of the popular Instant Pot, is merging with Corel Brands. I've never cooked in an Instant Pot. I know it's a pressure cooker, a steamer, a warmer, a rice cooker, and a slow cooker all in one. But interesting to note that if you've bought a crock pot or an Instant Pot in the last 5-10 years, you're like, man, I remember my mother's was a lot better. And there's that kind of thing, that the quality, right? And that makes it very, very tough for these guys to be winners in the profit, in the world of profits. So that's out there. Layoffs are expected now at Warner Media as they're reorganizing its leadership team after AT&T's acquisition. So there's a big thing where Time Warner and Warner Media, and they've had the CEO at Time Warner for a long time, and a lot of executives are starting to head out. So what did AT&T get when they got Time Warner? We'll see. You know, Rich Plepler, he announced in an internal memo obtained by CNBC that he would step down from his role as HBO CEO. You know, sometimes success or failure starts at the top. When AT&T bought HBO and thus Time Warner, they got TNT, TBS, HBO, True TV. How much of the winning formula is tied up in the executives? Or are they just going to be golden regardless, right? A lot of people kind of go that direction, and I don't know. I think success and failure has a lot to do with the top. So when I see high-level executives lose their job, I'm a little bit more worried about a company. If I see a company trimming, you know, low-cost labor, I'm a little bit more positive on the stock. I know you're saying, whoa. I know you're right. Steven Spielberg is trying to change the rules so Netflix can't win an Oscar. Wow. Do you see how the world's changing? I'm not calling Steven Spielberg old school, but very old school Steven Spielberg going after Netflix and saying, you know, there's some backlash here. Roma with Netflix was nominated for 10 Academy Awards at this year's ceremony. If I had to go and say I'd rather Netflix or Hulu, Hulu gets you all the TV services, streaming. I could watch on any device I want. Netflix gets you all the... which one would you go with? Live sports is the tricky one with me, but I'd definitely go with Netflix over Hulu. So I don't like what I'm seeing out of traditional media. But Steven Spielberg, he's telling me why we should love Netflix, right? When old school Steven Spielberg's complaining, oh, these young whippersnappers shouldn't win Academy Awards like me. Protect me. I'm Rob Black. Vote for me. Find me online at Rob Black Show, Twitter Rob Black Show, YouTube Rob Black Show.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.